Welcome, everybody. It's really exciting to think about being together, even though we can't reach out and touch each other. We can see each other, and it's just nice to be able to feel like we're that close to each other. I'd like to open with prayer, so just let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we just thank you so much for the possibility of us getting together as a women's retreat. And we just praise you and thank you for all the things that you have worked out for us to enable this to come to happen today. We just ask that you will be with us as we fellowship and as we listen to our speaker, and that you would speak to us through her. And we just pray that each one of these ladies that's here today will be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I guess I should introduce Haley.
That one will do.
I lost everybody. I've got just the schedule on my screen here. Oh, there you are. Okay.
Tamir Rice's mother, because enough is enough. You know, we talked about Tamir Rice for years, and here we are now with another 13-year-old.
Lou, your background.
Adam Toledo. Here we are with Dante.
Lou, you are in darkness. Your face, I can't see your face. Oh, I can hear what's in the background. Yeah.
Yes, over here. So there, I think, I don't know if everyone's on mute. Is everyone on mute?
I think we're good now. And once Haley starts, I'll mute anybody that. So okay. Go for it.
Okay.
Thank you, Haley.
Yeah. Hello, my name is Haley. I know a lot of you from church, but I played piano for 12 years, I think, now. And I just wanted to share a piece that I've worked on, I think, since like last June or so. I'm not sure when I started it, but it's been a while. So I'm very excited to play it. It's going to be, once I actually have my cheat notes here, because I keep forgetting the name of it. So it'll be Ballade number 3 in A flat major, opus 47 by Chopin.
Thank you.
Thank you, Haley. That was fantastic. Thank you for blessing us all this afternoon. And your practice has certainly paid off. So bravo to you. Let's give her a double thumbs up for a great performance. Thank you so much. God bless
you.
Thank you. Okay, well, what a great start. So thank you again for those of you who came in a little bit later. We're so happy you're with us. And I am so honored to tell you this afternoon a little bit about my friend, Anastasia, of over 20 years, which I can hardly believe, but she is our virtual guest speaker, and we're so happy to have her here with us, Zooming all the way in from California. So thank you again, Anastasia. So I met Anastasia in 2000, which was my first year attending Bible Study Fellowship at Westminster Church in Bellevue, Washington. And at my very first meeting, I knew this was a special lady filled with adventure and wanting to inspire other women as I sat in a group with her every week. Her late husband, Tim Hansel, was very much the same way, filled with adventure, and they were both quite a pair. So Steve and I became not only friends, but they were also clients of ours, and we helped them sell their house way back when. So I'm just so pleased, all of us are, Anastasia, that you agreed to this venue today. And this is the first time Anastasia has done it too. So we are all adventuring women with you today. So praise the Lord for that. And you know, life has changed for us all through this pandemic, but isn't it wonderful that God has provided us with technology where we can Zoom in from California, Anastasia, and I think, Gina, you said you're Zooming in from Vancouver, and most of us, the rest of us, I think, are all in the vicinity of Kirkland, Seattle, somewhere. So this is wonderful that God has still enabled us to have our ministries amidst a pandemic. Mm-hmm. So we can praise him and thank him for that. Now, let me just tell you a few highlights about Anastasia's life before she begins her talk for us today. Anastasia and Jeannie, I don't know if you've got the picture of her on the Congo that you can screen share, but if you can do that while I'm talking, that's great too. So she had a life, oh goody, here it comes. She had a life that was destined for risk-taking and adventure, which seems to have been written all over her portfolio. She lived in the Congo the first 13 years of her life. And at an early age, she attended an all-French speaking girls' school in Belgium, Brussels. And there's her picture there on the Congo, which I just love that picture, so adorable. She was at UC Berkeley. And in the 60s, she was as confused as everyone else during that time asking the question, is this where I was going? Anastasia now has two grown sons who each have families. She loves being called Nana Tasha to her 7 grandchildren. Anastasia was also Young Mother of the Year for the state of California in 1980. As an adult, Anastasia has given the vision and passion for launching of 3 nonprofit organizations. She was co-founder and developer of Women of Vision for World Vision. She has also led all women's cycling venues for 30 years, one of which cycled across the United States cycling, now listen to this, 80 miles per day in 6 weeks. Wow, that's quite an accomplishment. Makes me tired to even think about it. In 2013, she led an international cycling effort in Rwanda, Africa, where 3 tribes of women cycled for rape warfare survivors in the Congo. Anastasia has completed her master's in global leadership degree from Fuller Seminary and is co-founder and developer of Global Women in Leadership Network. She has been a motivational speaker at conferences and women's retreats for the past 30 years and is currently writing her first book, When God Calls a Woman, She's Got to Keep Adventuring. Her lifelong passion continues to be connecting with women in the Western world who, like herself, are immersed in the poverty of influence with poverty's women in majority world countries. Lives are changed, hope is restored, and destinies are altered on both sides of the ocean because of her work. Anastasia has a strong faith and trust in her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has sustained and energized her through many hard times in life, always with optimism, faith, hope, and a big smile. It's my pleasure to introduce our speaker today to all of you. I know you will be blessed. Zooming in from California, Anastasia Hansel.
Thank you all. Can they see me? Can you see me full screen? Can you see me as I'm talking? Okay.
Yes.
So this is new for me, you guys. I've done speaking live, but I've never actually done a speaking presentation using Zoom. So we're tired of hearing it. We're all in this together. Yes, we're all in this together. But thank you, Patty, for inviting me. And thank you all for joining me this afternoon. On a Tuesday morning, somewhere between what I call nowhere and now here, I got a phone call from my late husband's mom, who lived in Seattle. And she asked me, is there any way that I could possibly come to Seattle to evaluate her failing health? Well, I didn't give it a second thought. Tim's mom needed help. Of course we would come. So as I was packing, I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put together all of my photo shoots, all my photos from all those years living in the Congo. And I would have unlimited time, uninterrupted time on my hands as I cared for Tim's mom. Well, I had absolutely no idea what I had said yes to. The photos from my African background remained in an unopened suitcase for over 21 years. As I became immersed in what I've called the cathedral of human suffering, caring for two people who were totally dependent in all phases of their life for care. And little did I know at the time that I was going to be, that I was going to be immersed in another country. Did I see that?
No, you don't have your screen up yet.
So I'm going to begin to share my little, I have my son with me, helping me with my PowerPoints here. So I just want to be sure you can see. Can you see that screen now? Okay,
yes.
All right. So I had no idea that I was going to be immersed in what I would call another country. And I'm sure that many of you, you feel like that's exactly what we've been dealing with during this past year living in the pandemic. It feels like we too have entered into another country, and really a country that many of us have not chosen. And we may feel like we are experiencing what I call the amputation of the familiar self, asking ourselves the question, who am I? Where am I? And where am I going? They're all valid questions that I'm sure have surfaced for all of us during this time of life. And I like to sometimes use the statement that I feel like many times I feel like I'm going nowhere, and the challenge continues to be now here. And I think that all of us have experienced that in various facets. And I like this little girl. She shows up in the morning, and I just said to so many people, I've never had so many pajama days in all my life where I just get up, get my coffee, and that's step one. And God knows that actually my whole purpose in living is to continue to help change the world. But sometimes I don't look like I'm going to be about that with staying in my robe or my pajamas. And some of you may feel like you've been in charge of on the couch ministries as you've been going through the last couple of months. It's just been amazing how it's all been expressed. Currently, as Patty shared, you can go now. Currently, I am writing a book, and titled it, you know, there's, when you write a book, it's always a book in progress. It's a work in progress, but calling it When God Calls a Woman, She's Gotta Keep Authentically Adventuring. Now, when I mention to some people and some people groups that I'm writing a book, If there's an author in the audience, they'll say, okay, this is what you've got to do in order to get a book written. You have to get up at 4 a.m. and write for 3 hours. That's what works. Or somebody else will say, just write 3 pages a day, no matter where you are, what you're doing, just write 3 pages a day. And somebody else will say, no, this is what really works. You've got to go away to a cabin somewhere where nobody knows where you are and just write. Well, it's been interesting that none of those options seem to have worked for me in terms of who I am. And what has blown me away is the surprise of where my book seems to keep being written. And one of the places is when I'm on the Stairmaster at the gym, literally. It's just like I'm multitasking. I've got my post-it notes with me. I've got books, I've got my clipboard. And, you know, I've got people saying, my gosh, are you an attorney or something like this? You know, they're just going, what the heck? You know, she's on the Stairmaster. She's, what the heck is she doing? Another crazy place that where it seems like I get ideas out of nowhere, I call them, is when I'm blow drying my hair. I've got post-it notes by me. I'm slapping post-it notes on the mirror as one idea after another pops into my head. But I have really learned to listen to those, what I frame sometimes calling them an idea out of nowhere. And sometimes I use the term, it's not just an idea out of nowhere, it's literally a holy nudge. And so one day I'm blow drying my hair and all of a sudden I think about this woman. Her name is Ruth Van Reeken. 30 years ago, somebody sent me a book that she had written, and the title of the book is Letters I Never Wrote. Now, Ruth had autographed the book, and I don't quite remember who gave it to me. I didn't ever read the book, but I listened this particular morning to this idea out of nowhere about Ruth Van Reeken, and all of a sudden I thought, yikes. That was 30 years ago that somebody gave me that book. And I thought, I wonder what's happened to her. I wonder if she's still alive. Maybe she's dead. Well, I decided, okay, I'm going to Google her name. Well, I was shocked because not only was she not dead, but she was actually on TED Talks. And her TED Talks topic changed the entire trajectory of my book, When God Calls a Woman. She's got to keep adventuring, actually authentically adventuring. Ruth Van Reeken is a woman who has gone before me and has impacted, and sometimes I change that word impacted to impacted my life, to be who God meant me to be, knowing that God can use any of us to set the world on fire. Now, a number of years ago, I was given a national award, and through that process, I was introduced to a woman. Her name was Mary, who I got to become really good friends with. And so one day, Mary asked me, Anastasia, could you come and help me be a dresser for a particular fashion show that she was in charge of? Well, I would do anything for Mary at this point in life. And so I said, of course, I'll show up. I'll help you be a dresser for those, you know, for your fashion show. Once again, I had no idea what I had said yes to. When I walked into this room at this fashion show, I had never seen so many skinny bodies in one room in my whole life. And I thought, if I get out of here with a good self-image, it will be by the grace of God, because I have always struggled unbelievably with weight issues all my life. Well, when I left that day, I just thought, I hope I never see these women again. Goodbye. And I was just happy to leave. Well, a couple of weeks later, what I didn't realize that all of these skinny women were all professional models and they were all married to professional athletes. So this was my introduction to the world of professional athletes. Okay. And a lot of the women that they are married to. Well, a couple of weeks, but I thought I never really cared to be around them again anymore. And a lot of it was just because they're too skinny for me. So anyway, the next couple of weeks later, I get a phone call out of nowhere. And somebody asks me if I would begin to lead a Bible study with all of the professional athletes' wives of the San Diego Chargers, the San Diego Padres, and the Clippers. So for you, it'd be like all of a sudden somebody calling you up and saying, would you lead a Bible study with all the Seahawks wives, okay? Can you imagine my reaction? I just said, no way. There's no way I wanted to enter into that world again. Well, then a couple of days later, I get a phone call from the head coach's wife. So for you, it'd be like if Pete Carroll's wife called you up and said, you know, how about we get together? And this particular, the Chargers, the head coach Chargers wife, they had two boys that were the ages of my two boys. And we live in California and we were near the beach. And so it's summertime. So what are you going to suggest? She suggested, how about we meet at the beach? I thought, the beach? Are you kidding me? There's no way I want to meet at the beach, especially for the first time. I mean, I didn't say that to her, but that's what I'm thinking. I'm just going, no, I don't want to meet. I'm not going to meet you at the beach. Well, what's interesting is when we have a habit of spending time alone.
Hold up. Stop.
Are we okay? Okay. When we have a habit, I had a habit of spending time alone with the Lord on a consistent basis. And so when that happens in our lives, God does speak to us through his word. So one morning I am reading in Colossians, this little phrase pops out of this pages of scripture at me, in him you have been made complete. Well, when these kinds of things happen to me, I begin to kind of argue with the scriptures. Well, wait, Lord. Wait until I'm a little bit older. Maybe when I'm in my 40s, I could maybe do something like this. Or let me get my master's in something profound. But I really think bottom line with this assignment, it was, you know, just wait till I lose 20 pounds. And then I will be more complete. Well, that's not what the scriptures said. The scriptures say that in him, you have been made complete. So I decided to move forward by faith, saying yes at the edge of this unknown. God takes the unequipped and he equips us as we learn to move out in faith. He takes the little engine that could, that didn't think she could, and he turns that narrative around to, I thought she could. And recently, it was interesting, one of those professional athletes' wives called me up, and she just wanted to thank me for hanging in there with her in her unrelenting quest for truth. And I had the great privilege of leading Susan to the Lord during those years, and she told me that her son Duke, who I took care of when he was a baby, she said he became a professional athlete himself, and he actually left that world to enter into Dallas Theological Seminary so that he could become a chaplain to other professional athletes in that world. Well, I will never forget, as a young girl in my 20s, reading an article by Rose Kennedy, and the title of the article is My Life at 90 by Rose Kennedy. And as I read through what her life had looked like and where it had taken her, she ended the article by saying, one legacy I wish to leave, and that is that old age need not be feared. It can be rich and rewarding, but the qualities of our later life will be determined by the lives we have already led. And I have lived long enough to know that you do not automatically become an incredibly interesting person if nothing has gone into your life. And I often ask audiences, who are you becoming as you traverse through your 20s? Who are you becoming during those years when you're on the mommy track day in and day out? What is life looking like for you? As you're doing your 40s, maybe you've entered your 50s. Some of you may be entering your 60s and are asking the question, is there life after 60? And a great question for all of us to ask ourselves is the life you're living now the life that wants to live in you? And that's a Parker Palmer quote. And I have often wondered myself, I wonder what my article would look like when I turn 90 and I write about my life at 90. I mean, it's just everything's, you know, we're all culminating into something. Well, for years, I have prayed a very simple prayer that has had so many expressions in my life throughout all the 20s and the 30s and the 40s. And the question is the Lord Jesus, if you were me, with all my weaknesses and strengths, what would you be doing in my little corner of the world? And once I pray that prayer, I just walk through a process of what I call wait training. I wait on the Lord, because I've never wanted to be somebody else, but I have wanted to be who God has called me to be. And I have one of the places where I find that God has spoken, I call it a very dangerous place for me, has been at my kitchen sink. When my hands are immersed in hot, sudsy water and I'm just doing the dishes, it's an amazing place where all of a sudden, you know, God seems to speak to me. In fact, my 9-year-old son did ask me one day, he said, Mom, he said, he just made the statement. He said, sometimes I get really worried when you get an idea. And I said, Brian, what the heck? Why are you even saying that? I said, why did you get worried? And he said, well, he said, because it usually happens. But what I sometimes call an ordinary, just a holy nudge arrived on an ordinary day when I had my hands submerged in hot, sudsy, you know, water where I was washing dishes. And I happened to be watching, there was a little television, black and white TV on my kitchen counter. And I happened to be watching the Hawaii Ironman triathlon. And I was watching this 40-year-old woman that was doing this phenomenal athletic feat. She was in Hawaii, and when she would fall down, I would be clapping, saying, get up, get up. And she knew, she had no idea that I was one of her fans, but I was just rooting for her like crazy. All of a sudden, a ludicrous idea came into my head. Now, I thought, you know what, before I'm 40, I would like to cycle across the United States. Now that was ludicrous. I had not been on a bicycle for 20 years. I had never been known to be an athlete. In fact, I didn't even own a bicycle at the time. Now I had been working with domestic violence victims for years up to this point. This was way before the OJ Simpson, you know, that whole trial had hit the fan. But I wanted in some way to bring about awareness of what was going on behind closed doors with women across the United States. So I began to gather a team of women cyclists, and we started to form this team. And I did say to them one day, I said, you have to know that this is not going to take place unless we get a major cycling corporation to sponsor us. Well, for an entire year, we began knocking on doors of cycling shops. We went from one bicycle shop to another. We made phone calls. We wrote letters to cycling corporations. And this is way before the internet and the computer and all that. I mean, that was not even available then. And what we experienced literally day after day, we just experienced humiliation as one bicycle shop owner after another basically said to us, do you really think that a major cycling corporation would sponsor an all-female cycling endeavor like you're talking about? Because the cycling business, the cycling industry, even today, it's still a very, very male-dominated sport. Well, during those months of believing God for the impossible, out of nowhere, one day arrived a magazine that I had never subscribed to, hadn't subscribed to it before, haven't subscribed to it since, but it happened to be Decisions Magazine. Billy Graham's Decisions Magazine arrived in my mailbox. I have no idea how it came. On the front cover were these cyclists going uphill, and in the article was an article by Billy Graham talking about being faithful in our commitment. And for me, it just felt like I had just received a telephone call from God out of heaven and just encouraging me to keep on going. Well, we had set a deadline weekend. If no cycling sponsorship were ever to arrive, we're going to cancel this effort. Okay. So on this, on the deadline weekend, I was going to go for a training ride. Once again, it was Friday evening, but I thought, you know what? The corporate world, 5 o'clock Friday night, I'm going to wait until 5 o'clock Friday night because maybe the phone is going to ring. Do you know that at 5 minutes to 5 of that deadline weekend, the phone rang and it was Phyllis McCullough, who was the only woman vice president in the entire cycling industry who was a decision maker. And she let me know that the Raleigh Cycling Company would be sending us 8 18-speed touring bikes, all of our equipment, and all of the Raleigh cycling gear that we would need. So you can imagine my initial reaction was, oh no, now we have to do this. Howard Hendricks, the late Howard Hendricks, in his book, Taking a Stand, made a profound statement. He said, how do you convince a world that God is alive? By his aliveness in your life, by his work in producing reality in your experience. And what a message that is to a phony generation. As a team of women, we were learning to say yes at the edge of each day's unknown. When we dipped our wheels in the Pacific Ocean on Labor Day weekend, we began to cycle 80 miles a day until we dipped our wheels in the Atlantic Ocean 6 weeks later. And as I have continued throughout the ongoing seasons of my life, to move forward in the spirit of that prayer, Lord Jesus, if you were me with all my weaknesses and strengths, what would you be doing in my little corner of the world? God clearly spoke to me one day through the book of Chronicles. And the First Chronicles, the 12th chapter, is literally, it's a chapter where it talks about all the different kinds of people that helped David in time of war. And in the 32nd verse, it says that the men of Issachar were men who understood the times with the knowledge of what God would have Israel to do. And I have wanted to be a woman who understands the times with the knowledge of what God would have me to do. So in the late 1980s, World Vision asked me if I would take a group of women to Guatemala, just basically to acquaint myself with World Vision's work. So can you imagine, here I am now leading another team of women. We're getting on Pan Am. And again, that dates me a lot because Pan Am no longer exists, but we get on Pan Am and the flight attendants are asking us, so are you all going on a cruise? And I said, no, I don't think we're going on a cruise. And we basically, what we did was we spent 2 weeks working with women who live in the dumps of Guatemala. And I just remember the night before we were to return home, I gathered all the women team members together and I said, okay, you guys, do we just pretend that what we have been immersed in for 2 weeks just doesn't exist? Kind of like an etchy sketchy, you know, kind of like, now you see us, now you don't. Or do we begin to do something? As we involve ourselves with Poverty's Woman. Well, that is where Women of Vision with World Vision was given birth, literally in the dumps of Guatemala. Now, some years later, I was leading another team of women. It seems like that's what I've been doing all my life, is leading teams of women. But we were going on a trip to Kenya. And this particular team of women was composed of 6 very wealthy developers' wives from the Newport Beach area. An award-winning photojournalist from the Los Angeles Times had heard me speak, and she said, could I please go with you to Africa sometime when you go? So she joined us. Then who else joined us was three Black Kenyan women when we actually got to Kenya, as well as an all-male Muslim camera crew. So can you imagine the eclectic group that was, as we're spending 3 weeks, you know, in Kenya. And one of the places that we were quite immersed in were with the Maasai. And I don't know how many of you would have, you know, gone to Africa and been with the Maasai at all. Maybe some of you have. But they literally, they're a people group, very nomadic. They live in cow dung, literally. The cows are their bank accounts. And so you've got cow dung all over everything. Their villages are called manadas, and you walk into their villages and you're literally walking on cow dung. Their bomas, their huts are all made of cow dung. So can you imagine what cow dung attracts? It's gazillions of flies, okay? So we're about to get out of the van, and Beverly looks at me, one of the developers' wives, she looks at me, and with this horrific face, her honesty, I loved it. And she blurts out, she said, Anastasia, do I have to get out of the van or can I just write a check? We must be willing to get out of the van. We miss out if we're not willing to get out of the van. And Beverly made the choice to say yes that day at the edge of her unknown. And that choice literally became a transformational moment in her life as her theology became biography at a much deeper level than she would have ever experienced had she just decided, I'm gonna stay in the van. You know, and I've thought about this over the years, about staying in the van. And I've asked myself a question, what hinders me at times from getting out of the van? Whatever, the van can be a metaphor for just anything that we find ourselves kind of being stuck in, you know, I just want to go there. I just want to stay, you know, in my comfort zone. And so I've asked myself, what hinders me at times from getting out of the van? Well, many times what hinders me is actually my feelings about myself, just as I've shared with you. Well, I'm not an athlete, so how could I possibly cycle across the United States? I've just never been known to be an athlete. Or with the professional athletes' wives, I'm just not skinny enough. I'm sorry, that's not an assignment for me. And I'm facing that even right now in the field of writing and publishing. I was married to Tim Hansel, who was a prolific writer and speaker. And, you know, I could easily say, well, I'm just not a writer, you know, that, you know, I could just easily think that about myself. And so it's one of those things that our feelings about ourselves sometimes can literally be what takes us down. Now, a lot of times when I speak, I intentionally have to literally memorize this verse. Let us, and a lot of times I use my own, put my name in the scriptures. I think Anne Graham Lotz shared that one time, and I've done it ever since. Let us put your name in it, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And put your own name in there. Let us, or your name is, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let her, whatever your name is, run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Now, I have intentionally, many times when I've done speaking, I literally bring in huge ladders like this. And one of the ladders I call the capacity ladder, and the other ladder I call the character ladder. David Brooks, in his book, The Book of Character, I don't know if any of you have read that book, he opens up that book with a phenomenal statement. He says, you know, lately I've been thinking about the difference between resume values and eulogy values. The capacity ladder, literally, it's the whole culture of resume values. It's Lance Armstrong when he does the Tour de France, just saying, you just cheat your way to the top. In the capacity ladder culture, greed is gargantuan. John D. Rockefeller once stated, how much does it take to satisfy a man? A little more than what he has. Pride is enormous in the capacity culture ladder. A cartoon captures what can one can easily fall into. Are you satisfied now that you've reached the top, JP? Or are you striving for the tippy, tippy top? Anger can be huge in this culture. Hurt can run deep. Living life in the culture of the capacity ladder is where one is consumed with possessions. What do I have? Performance, what do I do? Position, how important am I? And personal appearance, what do I look like? Now there's a huge difference between being concerned with these items in our culture and being consumed with them, okay? So in the character ladder is literally, I believe, where we would like to choose to live our life, where we're redefining what success looks like, okay? So instead of being concerned with totally possessions, what do I have, turning it around, thinking more in the paradigm of what can I give? What do others need? In the area of performance, what do I do? Asking ourselves, how does what I do impact other people? With position, you know, some people, all they're concerned about is how important they are. Turning that around and asking, well, how important are other people that I'm working with? Personal appearance, what do I look like? How will I be remembered is far more important. And what challenges am I facing for the benefit of those that I am influencing? Those are much better to be concerned with some of those questions than what the capacity ladder. But the character ladder encourages us as women literally to take the hindrance out of the hurt. Now there are things that have happened in my life where I have been very hurt by what has happened, and it could have easily become a hindrance. But I know that even the saddest things that happen in our lives, once we have made peace with them, and that's a period of time that takes place usually, but once we have made peace with what has happened to us, that can become a source of wisdom and strength for the journey ahead. So in my own life, I have asked the Lord to help me take the hindrance out of the hurt. Where did I have that? I forget that, where I had that verse. But anyway, but I've asked, let Anastasia throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangle me, and let me run with perseverance the race marked out for me. Now, fear can paralyze us to inaction. I think we all know that. Fear can take us down at any point in time. And I'm often asked when I go to the Congo, is it safe in the Congo? And I usually answer, no, it's not safe. But I ask them the question, does that mean that we don't go? And every time I walk up the steps on the airplane going to the Congo, I remind myself of that great verse in Exodus that says, I am sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way, to bring you to the place I have prepared for you. Pay attention to him and listen to what he says, because my name is in him. And I move forward going to the Congo in with that, knowing that mantle is on me. And so going to the Congo I work with a lot of rape warfare survivors. And I remember one time when I first came, there's literally this van drove up, and I'd say 12, 13 young women came pouring out of the van. It was almost like they were dead women walking because of the torture that they had experienced as they came into the hospital there. And this particular woman had her lips literally cut off of her when she came to the hospital. And this is what, to me, this is in the rape warfare ward there at the hospital. This to me is a picture of what shame looks like. What some of these women, I mean, what they have been through, so humiliated and so shamed. But when we work in the culture of the character ladder, we know that courage is not the absence of fear, but the judgment that something else is much more than fear, much more important. The character ladder focuses on eulogy values as to who we are becoming. And this particular woman, here she was in a very safe place. She had had the fistula surgery that she needed from the rape that she had experienced, the torture she had experienced. She was in a very safe place, but she still wanted that machete on her hospital bed. That was her weapon because of what she had experienced. So that's kind of the level of really tough situations that some of these women are dealing with. But you in the character ladder, just focusing on eulogy values. Who am I becoming? And whenever I get off the airplane in that, in the Congo, I'm reminded of the feeding of the 5,000, literally. I see a sea of humanity, of lives in desperation. And I feel at a very deep level, I am such a little engine. I don't have anything to give. All I have are 5 loaves and 2 fish. And yet I'm reminded, how did Jesus respond when they said, all I have are 5 loaves and 2 fish? And Jesus said, bring them here to me. Now he doesn't say, I'm sorry, that's just not enough. That's like in our world today. I'm sorry, that's just not enough. You don't have 376,000 views on your Facebook page. What the heck? You don't have 500,000 people following you on Instagram. Your engine is just not important enough. Well, how did Jesus respond when he was given those 5 loaves and 2 fish? Bring them here to me, no matter how small, how insignificant, how unworthy I might feel. Jesus says, bring them here to me. And he's basically saying, bring me your skill set. Now, one of the things I've been able to do is I was asked to come to the Congo one time to be the concierge of this, the guest house there at the hospital. And we went in and we totally redid the whole rape warfare wars at the hospital. They were just an absolute mess. And so we went in and kind of I called up some women from the United States and I said, I think God wants you to come my way and help me redo this. But that's just, you know, our skill set. What is it? Another thing I've done is I've led all women's cycling venues. In fact, you are in Seattle. I've done the Cycle the Wave a couple of times with about 1,500 other cyclists. Been an amazing experience. But we cycle for solar lights. And what I've thought is, you know what, Lord, maybe all I can do is to bring a solar light to a woman in a village. And these solar lights have been like a huge micro enterprise business for these women. Because if you're living in a village, there's no electricity, you all of a sudden have light. First of all, you become queen of that village, and then your light charges mobile phones. Well, in these cultures now, what's so crazy is you go, everybody has a cell phone, but then how do they charge them? So sometimes they have to get on bicycles and they have to cycle a couple miles down the road to get to a storefront so they can charge their cell phone. Okay. So, or women have, she can have a great little micro enterprise business just by having a solar light that charges cell phones. So that's kind of what some of these, this happened to be a cycling event that I did in Oregon with this little guy who's an orphan from India. And he joined me and we just cycled for solar lights for these women around the world. But so the 5 loaves and the 2 fish ministry for me usually begins by just saying, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for, and put your name in there. But it's, Lord Jesus, if you were me with all my weaknesses and strengths, what would you be doing in my little corner of the world? I believe that we need to be women who are authentically influencing our people groups through a life of significance, becoming the kind of leader that other people want to follow. Now, on the character ladder, The fourth rung on the character ladder is called paying the price. And paying the price is about something beyond winning. It's about reaching our destiny and trusting our lives to the capable hands of God. And I recently read about Richard Wurmbrand. I'm sure some of you people are aware of him. It is absolutely amazing what he went through in his book, Alone with God. And this is what paying the price looked like for him. I spent 3 of my 14 years of prison alone in a cell, 30 feet below ground, with 50 pounds of chains on my feet and manacles on my hands. During this time, I never heard the slightest noise. I never saw a human face except for the torturers. I never saw the sun, moon, stars, rain, or flowers. I never saw a color. I forgot that colors existed. I saw only the gray walls and my dull gray uniform. I had no book or newspaper, let alone the Bible. I had no pencil, no paper on which to write my thoughts. During my years of solitary confinement, I composed 350 sermons. I created them in my mind because I could not write them down. I delivered them every night to an unseen audience. Can you imagine? And I even thought during this pandemic, because I couldn't gather people to do cycling events. And so what I have done once a month is I have cycled alone. I have cycled by myself to what I have called an unseen audience for a particular woman, an emerging global woman leader somewhere in the world that you know we've been raising funding for. But another person is Gladys Aylward. I don't know if you're aware of her. Somebody who totally paid the price, but she knew that God had called her to go to China. No mission board, this was a time when no mission board would even, she was a woman, she wasn't worthy enough to fund. And yet she practically walked herself to China. And her story is one of incredible, heroic perseverance. And I don't know if any of you have ever seen the movie, The End of Sixth Happiness, with Ingrid Bergman. It's basically the life of Gladys Aylward, just phenomenal. But paying the price, it's about something beyond winning. And it's about reaching our destiny and trusting our lives to the capable hands of God. A strong woman works out every day to keep her body in shape. But a woman of strength kneels in prayer to keep her soul in shape. A strong woman isn't afraid of anything, but a woman of strength shows courage in the midst of her fear. A strong woman won't let anyone get the best of her, but a woman of strength gives the best of herself to everyone. A strong woman makes mistakes and avoids the same in the future. A woman of strength realizes that life's mistakes can also be God's blessings and capitalizes on them. A strong woman walks sure-footed, but a woman of strength knows God will catch her when she falls. A strong woman wears the look of confidence on her face, but a woman of strength wears grace. A strong woman has faith that she is strong enough for the journey, but a woman of strength has faith that it is in the journey that she will become strong. So paying the price, we will pay the price as an authentic woman leader, because the fifth rung on the ladder is next. And the fifth rung on the character ladder, I often say I want to be a fifth rung leader. And the fifth rung leader will avoid complacency as we walk through life. We will make choices that keep us on the growing edge. And we know the dangers of spiritual plateauing. You know, my sister, we were raised with African, we had a pet chimpanzee named Zamba. And then we also had an African gray parrot called Kukulu. And my sister ended up having Kukulu live with her for many years. And one day I said to Christine, how long has Kukulu been living in that cage? And she said, for 50 years. And I thought to myself, that is where some people live their lives for 50 years with that posture of just as I am, and there I will stay. You know, Viktor Frankl is the man that was lived in the another, you know, was in concentration camps for years. And he asked himself the question, what is the assignment that my context is giving me? And I think that that's a question that I ask myself all the time. What is the, and I change, I don't use the word assignment as much as I say, what is the invitation that my context is giving me? And I think that that's something that I've done over during this pandemic year is asking myself that question, what is the assignment, the invitation that this pandemic has been giving me? Is a great, great question to ask ourselves. Now this white plastic chair, it's amazing what this Congolese woman has done with her white plastic chair. One of the things that I've been involved in for years now is really getting behind young emerging women leaders in developing parts of the world, in under-resourced parts of the world. And this happens to be Denise, and girls like us funded her in order that she might have a beginning. She learned how to become an esthetician. And so this is her business location. She literally takes her white plastic chair, she puts it on a very crowded street in Congo on the dusty dirt road. There's throngs of people walking by, but they sit in her white plastic chair, and she, you know, she puts her chair on purpose kind of in front of a storefront that has hair extensions or whatnot. So she goes in and she gets a hair extension and she does the braiding and whatnot, but she's able to get enough money. This is her business location. That's her office, so that she can have money to feed her children, to buy their school uniforms, as well as to provide a home for them. And she, Denise, has successfully established a seat at the table in her corner of the world. And she is starting with her 5 loaves and 2 fish, actually her skill set. You see, God uses what you have to fill a need which you never could have filled. God uses who you are to take you where you never could have gone. And God uses what you can do to accomplish what you never could have done. And God uses who you are to let you become who you never could have been. So let us throw off everything that hinders us and run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And I would just hope that we would all end our lives along with Paul, the last words that he wrote in the book of Acts, knowing that with all openness, he had become unhindered. And I just would encourage us all to get out of the van if we're stuck in the van, in whatever way we are. But whatever we might be stuck in, allow ourselves to say yes at the edge of whatever unknown we are facing. Because with that paradigm, lives are changed, hope is restored, and destinies are altered on both sides of the ocean. So as we end our time here together this afternoon, I just wanted to just encourage you to say yes at the edge of whatever unknown you're facing, because to be a witness means to be a living mystery. It means to live one's life in such a way that it would not make sense if God did not exist. And be who God meant you to be, and you will set your corner of the world on fire with all openness unhindered.
Wow. Thank you, Anastasia. That is a challenging message. Wow. And I get the sense that God has a plan and a purpose for all of us. And it's up to each one of us to find out what it is that God meant us to be and what purpose he has set for us.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what's so great is that, you know, we just need to let him, if we get ideas out of nowhere, to, you know, just let that simmer some and give it to the Lord, and put yourself into that weight training category. And then all of a sudden, I mean, he uses all kinds of things to speak to us. And it's, I think it's our choice whether or not we say yes to that or we go, I don't think so. Anyway, but you know, I just think it's important that we all allow ourselves to be uniquely who God made us to be, and not try and be somebody else. Somebody else has been done, right?
Right. God has given us our specific gifts and talents and limitations and community because that's what he wants us to use.
Exactly.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay, anything before we go to breakout rooms? All right, so we will be splitting into breakout rooms. So when I open all the rooms, you will see a button appear on your screen that says go to breakout room, whatever. And if you just tap that button, you'll go. And we will have 25 minutes for the breakout room. There is the leader of each room has several questions that we'll be discussing. And at the end, there will be some limited opportunity to share out any really fantastic insights with the whole group. So any questions or comments before we go? Great. So you will arrive in the breakout room muted, but please do unmute yourself so that you can be part of the discussion and enjoy the time. Thanks, and I'll see you back in 25 minutes.
I'll read too fast.
Looks like all the kids got off to school okay. Let me know when you want to go to a room and I'll assign you to that. And then you can leave the breakout room anytime and I'll let you join another one. Hey, Dina, sorry about that.
No, I can't see anybody else on my screen.
Are you on an iPad?
What? No, I'm on a computer. There's like three stripes and I can hear Sue. No. So I decided to leave the meeting and I'm going to try to go join them again, but okay, I don't see the connections again. So
let me see where you were.
yeah.
You were in Sue's room. Okay.
Yeah, I was in Sue's room.
Okay, that is room 6. All right, have a good time.
All right.
6. Oh my goodness. Oh.
Yeah.
yeah, it should be easier, shouldn't it? Oh, here we go.
Okay. Oh,
my gosh.
Sorry.
Sorry, what a happy looking group. So hope you all had wonderful breakout sessions. I know ours was filled with some beautiful insights and comments about Anastasia and what you shared and these very thought-provoking questions. So did anybody have any questions for our speaker? You are all a captive audience right now, or anything that you might want to share that came out of your groups? Or Anastasia, anything you observed? You didn't zoom into our group, so I don't know who you visited.
Well, Jeannie and I had a great time together.
Yeah, sorry, I hogged her the whole time.
No, it was great. I told her, I said, it's just so different, you know, doing something like this on Zoom as against being live, because I can't see people, and, you know, so you just kind of talking away, hoping that something's being admitted.
Well, I can tell you from my breakout room, all three of them heard you. So I think you had a captive audience with listening ears.
It's a fabulous assignment, actually, a fabulous assignment doing this, because God knows if this is going to become the new normal or not. We have no idea. So it can be a learning curve, saying yes at the edge of the unknown again.
It's nice that we have so much technology that we can see each other.
Yeah.
And be with each other, because one of the things I think is the hardest thing is that we can't, you know, be with each other.
Right.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Social massive. And
that actually came out in the group that I was with, that what hinders you right now, it was we can't be together. And sure, that is a hindrance for a lot of people. That's a reality right now. And those of us that have had someone through this, aka husband, children, parents, whatever, that we're with, you know, sometimes I've got the coronavirus guilt where I don't feel like I've suffered through this. In fact, we've kind of enjoyed quiet time, missed our grandkids for sure. But I think for a lot of people, especially people that live alone that I know, it's been very, very, very challenging, and it does hinder us a bit from what maybe we would like to be doing, or maybe even what God has called us to do. And praise the Lord, and thank you, Jesus, that we can do this venue and not be hindered. We didn't let this stop the women's retreat from happening, just figured out a way with his help, and Anastasia, with your adventuresome spirit, to roll forward with it.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, this is better than the phone call, you know. At least we can see each other.
Yes.
Yeah. So our theme verse for this was from Isaiah. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. And so Barb Norfleet has been kind enough to provide us with a song. So we'll see that next. And thank you, Barbara. I'm going to turn my video off, just saying.
How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. Announcing peace, proclaiming news of happiness. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. He had no stately form, he had no majesty that we should be drawn to him. He was despised, and we took no account of him. Yet now he reigns with the Most High. Our God reigns. 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 Our God reigns.
Amen.
Nice. Beautiful. Thank
Beautiful.
You.
Amen. Thank you, Barbara.
You're welcome. There was a video too, but I don't think we got to see that part. Not that you need to see me, because I wasn't on it.
Did we not see the video?
I saw it.
I saw it.
Oh. Beautiful.
I didn't see any video.
Maybe I it had the words on it and everything. I didn't see it on my side. So.
I didn't see that. That part didn't show up, but the backdrop.
I sent you a message, Jeannie, but
had
I don't think you saw it.
Oh, sorry. My bad.
The voice was what carried it. Fabulous.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
That was beautiful. Well, Anastasia, any closing remarks, or did anybody have any other questions of her?
I just wanted to say, I thought you did a wonderful job. And, you know, for this being like your first experience or whatever, I thought it was great. You did a really great job.
Thank you. You have no idea. It's so different. You have no feedback, you know, it's just kind of like talking to the wall.
But yes. The content was challenging as well. That was that gave me a lot to chew on.
I have a question.
Sure. What?
Were you always an adventurer from birth, or did you acquire that through living overseas and different things?
That's a good question. You know that picture that Patty showed of me going down the Congo River on a barge as a toddler? I've said that must have been the birth of the adventure coach. You know, I'm looking at the vast unknown, right, from the very beginning as a toddler. But no, I believe that being married to Tim Hansel was a huge, huge influence in my life. Yeah. And so it was just kind of like, I think that was a wake up call for me in terms of who I wanted. Who I wanted to be. And, you know, I just, he was an amazing, amazing person, right, Patty?
Yes, he was.
An amazing person. And I had never met a Christian man that was like a wild man who loved Jesus. He was like a wild man who loved Jesus. it was really an amazing thing. So, yeah. Before that, I mean, I've never wanted to do boring, I guess, is first of all, how I might put that. You know, there's a great book called Oh God, But I'm Bored. I've always
I guess I've always just wanted to live on that cutting edge, you know, of, and I don't know, it's a huge, huge, huge factor though, you guys, is health and energy. Because when you don't feel good, energy wanes, right? And you're to do anything just kind of goes out the window. So God has, I'm 74 years old and God has blessed me with health and energy. And that's an asset. It's a skill set, I think. It's something. And so when God has ordained our days, right? And I have no idea how long I will have this, you know, this body that can keep on going like this, but it's something, it's a huge factor, you know. But the people that like me that have these kind of assets their complacency about life, I just want to tell them to get off the couch.
You know? Amen.
I just go, you guys, you know, there was a great story about this gal that was watching Oprah one day, and she was talking about, actually, she was talking about women in the Congo. And this woman says, why am I sitting on the couch? And she went to the Congo and started doing, you know, it's called the Thousand Sisters. But I just don't do on the couch ministries. Yeah, mine is more on the run ministries. But you know, I've been blessed with health, and that's a huge factor that I don't take for granted. Yeah.
Well, I just really appreciated everything you had to say, Anastasia, and I think one of the nuggets I'm going to take away is, do I have to get out of the van or can I just write a check? And I am praying I'm going to be the one that will get out of the van.
You got out of the van plenty of times in Guatemala, dear sister.
And you're blessed by it when you do.
You are.
The Holy Spirit will tell you which one to do.
And your theology does become biography at a deeper level when you choose to get out of the van, whatever that looks like. Yeah, it really does. Yeah, it really, really does. So, well, it's been a blessing to be with you all. Just know that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That I, my first Zoom experience speaking.
God. Well, you did great. You really inspired us.
Thank you for blessing us.
Gives me courage. Yeah, gives me courage. Thank you. I'll tell my literary agent that I actually did my first Zoom speak.
It won't be your last, I'm sure.
I want to know when the hike in the mountains is.
Yeah. Okay, I'll let you know. Yeah.
So you got out of the van today.
Yeah. That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Didn't we all?
We all did. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Hey, Sue, would you close this?
Sure. Father God, we just thank you so much for the words that you gave to Anastasia to share with us. We just pray that we can trust you to get out of the van and step out and trust you to lead us to where you want us to go and give up on fighting what we don't know and just trusting in you. We just ask that you'll bless us now as we go home, or at least to another part of our house. And we just thank you for the opportunity to do this. Thank you for all of the ladies that really worked hard at doing something that was different, because our times are different now. And we just praise you for leading us in this direction. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Thank you. All right.
Let me play the video one more time. Are you seeing the word?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for being patient with me.
Thank you.
How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. Good news. Announcing peace, proclaiming news of happiness. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Stately form, he had no majesty that we should be drawn to him. He was despised, and we took no account of him. Yet now he reigns with the Most High. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns.
All right, that's the program. Feel free to stay around and visit. A lot of faces I haven't seen in quite some time.
Mm-hmm. Thank you all for coming. It was such a blessing to see your beautiful faces this afternoon.